be reading the 23rd Psalm. 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Great to see everyone. Good crowd this morning. Good morning, brethren and friends.
Good morning.
Good to see everyone. If you're visiting with us, thank you for being here. You're surrounded by good people. Simply want to do what God says to do. Christians that love each other and love you. Love your soul. We want to go to heaven. We pass on from this world, and we want you to go too. Glad that you're here. Welcome you back at each and every opportunity that you have. Appreciate Jason reading that psalm. That is a very familiar psalm. One of the most familiar psalms, if not the most familiar songs, it was one of the favorite ancient hymns of Israel, and yet David, when he is speaking there to communicate in that psalm, I want you to mark that down, that what he wants you to know is that God is there, that God wants to be with his people, that God cares for his people, and that God will always be there for his people. I think that psalm is comforting to us. And how many times have you needed some consolation? You needed some comfort. And those words are always there. You shall not want. Why? Because the good shepherd will provide whatever you need and want in whatever situation you find yourself in. Those are comforting words. It's good to know that God is there. God wants us to know that he is always there. I want to say something to you this morning, and if you don't remember anything I say, I want you to remember this. I want you to remember that God is real. God is real no matter how you feel. God is real no matter how you might feel. You know, it's easy to worship God when everything is going great. In this situation here, in this assembly here, with brethren of like precious faith, with family, things are going great in your family, and things are just as great as they can be in the world, your health. It's easy to worship God when we find ourselves in that situation. It's easy, and we sit down and we're greeted as we are, and really when you start thinking about it, you know, I've got this, I've got that, the Lord has blessed me in so many ways. Let's worship and sing praises to God. And you begin to do that, and then suddenly what happens? Your other voices begin to blend in with your voice, and you're worshiping God in song, and it's just good to be. It's easy to worship God then. It's easy to worship God when you're on a secluded beach, and you see the ocean, and you see everything that God makes. You're on a mountaintop, you're on a ridge, and you see the beauty of God, and you, those words, I don't know about you, they come to my mind, oh Lord my God, how great thou art, how magnificent you are, what a powerful God. And it's easy for those words to penetrate your soul, and to penetrate your mind in those occasions. And I think those times are the exception, the more I think about it. They're not the rule. You know, a lot of times I've had my mountaintop experiences. I have. I've had some dandy things happen to me in my life, and I'm sure you have too. But if you give it some thought, I think more times than those mountaintop experiences in my life, I've been in that valley quite a bit in my life, in that deep, dark valley. And I think about that, and I think I really what it led me to ask this morning or think about, how do I worship God when I'm like that? How do I worship? How do I praise God when I don't feel like it? How do I maintain my relationship with God when I don't feel like it? How do I maintain my friendship with God when I don't feel like it? when I'm at that low, and God just seems so, He just seems so far away from me. How do you do it? I want to talk to you this morning about the deepest level. I believe the deepest level of worship, the deepest level of faith, the deepest level of friendship of God. When you can praise Him, and when you can honor Him in spite of your pain, in spite of everything that's happening in your life, that you can thank Him for the blessings that you have in this life, that you can trust Him, no matter if you don't understand what's happening in your life, that you can love God even though He seems like He's a million miles away, and He's nowhere near you. I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm telling you it can be done. And I believe that God wants that done in us. Because all of us have those occasions in our life. You know, friendship and relationship that all of us have, I think are often tested by separation. I think that's true in physical relationships. I think that's true in spiritual relationships as well, as I read the scripture. And you heard the expression a lot of times that absence makes the heart grow fonder. Heard that? I can vouch for that. When I was in the Navy, I'll tell you what, I longed to go home to Virginia. Absence made my heart grow fond. But you know what? That's not always the case. Sometimes, absence makes the heart grow weaker. Sometimes in separation, we lose our connection. Sometimes in separation, we lose our closeness. Have you ever had a close friend, maybe when you were younger, or maybe now? I can tell you a story now. Where, hey, what do y'all say when they leave? They're leaving town, what do y'all say? Well, hey, we're going to keep in touch, we're going to keep everybody posted, we're going to do this, going to do that every week. But what happens? Well, you don't. Life gets in the way, and pretty soon that friendship is put on test by separation. Now, God is no different, and your relationship with God is no different. In your friendship with God, you're not always going to feel close to Him. You're not always going to have that closeness with God. And you think about it, there's a pendulum going on. We always talk about extremes and balances. But a lot of times, you might feel really, really close to God, and your relationship to God might be on the front burner doing really good. But a lot of times, it might not be. A lot of times, it might be swinging the other way. And that's when worship gets difficult, I think. I think that's when your faith is tested. I think that's when it's hard to have faith. And I think that's when you find out the depth of your faith and how solid your faith is when you feel that way. Can I worship God when feelings just aren't there? Can you? I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes in your life, when God's going to seem far away from you, when you're going to feel abandoned, when you're going to feel ignored by God, when you're going to feel all those things, you're going to feel forsaken. But I want to tell you that if you go there and you feel those things, you're not the first. You won't be the first. You won't be the last. Psalms chapter 10. I want you to listen to the words of Solomon. If he's talking about God, verse 1. Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Psalms 10:1. Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why did you hide yourself in times of trouble? What's he saying? He's like, why do you hide yourself when I need you most? There's irony in that. Have you ever felt that way? That when you need God the most, He's at the most distant point from your life, and He's removed Himself from the situation? Well, evidently, just reading this, I recognize I'm not the only one. Psalms 22. David starts Psalms 22 with those words, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Now we know those are prophetic words. We're quick to say those are prophetic words. Why? Because those are the very words that Jesus used on the cross. We recognize that. But this passage is a passage that you can say has a dual meaning or a dual purpose. My God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. And by night, and I have no rest. Yes, prophetic words. Jesus said those words. But I'm going to tell you, David said those words. And David said those words because that's how David felt. He was forsaken by God. Have you ever prayed and you had a sense that when you prayed, God really listened? Did God really hear what I said? But did God ever get that? I'll tell you, you're not the only one. Look at Psalms chapter 89. Psalms, the 89th Psalm. I want you to notice. I'm sorry, let's skip 43. I skipped one. That's a list here. Let's go to 43. Psalm 43. Let's look at verse 2. He says, "For you are the God of my strength. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemy?" And he's looking there. One of the things I love about the Psalms, one of the things I love about the Psalmist is that they are wide open. They're wide open. They're honest in revealing their heart. They're honest in revealing their hearts to God. And in doing that, they're honest in revealing their hearts to us. And we can see it, and we can look at it, and we can see these truths. Now turn to Psalms 89. Now turn to Psalms 89. Notice, verse 46. He says this, "How long? How long, O Lord, will you hide yourself forever? Will your wrath burn like fire?" He questions that. Well, the truth is about these brethren and about David is that God never left them. That God was always there no matter what they were feeling, no matter what they were saying. That's the truth of it. Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter, verse 8. Moses states that God will never leave them. He says, "I'll never forsake them." The Hebrew writer says the same thing in chapter 13, verse 9. He says, "I'll never desert you. I'll never leave you." Now, those are promises of God. I read those. I've tried to get that to register, but that doesn't mean I'll never have feelings of absence. That I'll never have feelings of separation, just like David felt at these times. And he pinned us. So many times we pray and we wonder, did that do any good? Did God hear me? We come to worship service. We have a worship service like we have, and it's uplifting. It's all of the things. The edification is there. And we get in the car, we go home, and you're still empty. You didn't get anything out of us. And you think, what am I doing? Why am I doing it? You know, my life's such a mess. I'm just going through the motions. And those difficult and hard times in your life, you know what you do? Why am I feeling this way? I'm a Christian. I shouldn't feel this way. What in the world's wrong with me? Why do I feel this way? Maybe there's nothing wrong with you. Maybe that's the answer. Maybe there's nothing wrong with you. You ever thought about maybe that all of this may be just a part of your growth process? That this is how it works when in your life, that you begin to grow and mature with the things that happen. Yeah, David said, "God, why are you so far away from me? God, why don't you hear me? God, why have you forsaken me?" But that's the same David that God set up. Here's a man that's after my own heart. And that seems to seem like he's talking about two different men, but there were times when David did what? He felt disconnected from God. He felt it. You can read it. But David's feelings betrayed him. David's feelings were wrong. Alright? No, Job's the same thing. It works the same way as Job. Job chapter 23. Let's go over and turn and read some of Job. Let's look at verse 8. He says, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. When he acts on the left, I cannot behold him. He turns to the right." Job says, "I can't see him." Well, in other words, Job, like David, felt totally disconnected from God, nowhere to be found. And he knew, though, that God And he thought, you know, and as you read Job, you find out there's a little snippet in Job that proved that even though he felt this action, that God was there. Even though he felt like he wasn't there, God was there. And during that time, during that realization, grew his faith, grew his trust in God. God had not deserted Job. God had not deserted David, but he certainly felt like it. They both felt like it. David's feelings tricked him. And I can tell you, your feelings sometimes can trick you. Your emotions and what's going on in your life can sometimes trick you too. Maybe we need to stop here and pause a moment and remind ourselves, listen, I'm going to tell you something. There are times that God is not close to you. You know why? Because he's really not. Isaiah chapter 59. The prophet Isaiah. The Bible teaches very plainly that sin separates you from God. Verse 1, the prophet Isaiah 59 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquity, lawlessness, sin have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, and so that he does not hear you." The prophet Isaiah is lying. Sometimes people may be feeling disconnected from God because they are. The sin of their life that they refuse to repent of, and they continue to live in and engage in, when you're not walking in the paths of righteousness, when you're not walking in the paths of life, you refuse to do that, you refuse to submit to the will of God, guess what? You are separated from God, and you need to feel separated from God. And that's what Isaiah is talking about. And I want you to keep in mind in this passage that God never moves. God never moved out of the relationship. God never went anywhere. You moved in this relationship when it comes to sin, when you decided to engage in that. And you decided to participate in that. And so you caused the separation. A lot of times the people feel disconnected from God. They blame God. Where's God? God didn't go anywhere. You moved out of the relationship because of sin. Like that couple. What we want to name him? Harold. That was a good name. Harold Nedman, 1940s name. And you know what? Harold Nedman's going down the road in the car, and they've been traveling some miles, and Nedman said, "I want you to look at Harold. I want you to look at that couple up there. Well, I better just sit in the corner with you and see that. Look at them. They look like they got one head." That's what comes out. They look like they're just one person. One head up there. She's moving her. Look at her, Harold. Look at him, Harold. And then they go down the road, and they turn off, and she keeps on, and they just keep telling about that. Can you believe how that was? Just think about them, Harold. Now all of you think about us. Think about me over here holding on to the door. I just think about us, how we sit in this car. And old Harold looked up and said, "I never moved." And he didn't. Just like old Harold, he doesn't move. He's still out there on the wheel. He doesn't want to see them. God never moved. God never moved out of the relationship. You moved. So the next time you feel disconnected and not God's presence, maybe it's one you moved. Okay? So, that being said, that's not what I'm talking about this morning. I hope y'all get that. I hope you've been impressed with that now, because we're talking about not sin separating us from God, but we're talking about your feelings of estrangement. Your feelings of separation. And there comes a time in our life when our faith is put to the test. And when you can, when you continue to love God, when you continue to obey God, when you continue to trust God, and all of those things, but when you don't necessarily, you don't feel His presence. You don't feel God. And so that's the question. I think when I look at this study and start to think about it, I think it brings to light and highlights a lot of things that I think people, when it comes to religion, when it comes to the Bible, when it comes to God, it highlights what people are looking for. You know what people are looking for? A feeling. People are looking for an emotion rather than seeking God. They want that feeling. And when the good feeling happens, you know what to say? We worship God.
Oh, good. It felt good. But when it doesn't happen, well, must not done. I must have not worshipped God. You ever stop to think maybe God removes your feelings sometimes? Because I think he wants us to know that that's not always something that we need to depend on. Maybe that's not all there is to it. Just our own feelings. There are times in David and Job's life, and you can look at it when no doubt they didn't feel close to God. And even though those feelings weren't there, both those men openly confessed that even though they felt that way, guess what they confessed and knew? God was there all the time. They didn't feel like it, but God was there all the time. And you see, there's a difference in feeling and fact. We walk by faith. We walk by faith. Where'd you get that faith? Right here in these words. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When you open this book and you look into the words of God that have been penned by the inspired man, the Holy Spirit, revealed mind of God, and put in the form of words to us, these are facts. My faith is based on these facts that are written by God to me. Big difference in what's written and how I might feel about what's written. Feelings and facts, two different things. Now, sometimes your feelings and facts harmonize. What a great day that is. Isn't that good? When you feel exactly what's written, they harmonize sometimes, but they don't. And I think that's what we're looking at. Like David and Job, I think when they don't harmonize, that's when you need to focus on the fact. Because that's what Job and David did. The fact is, God said, I'll never leave you. God said, I'll never leave you. I'll never, ever deny you. Never. He always says, he's always here, he's always present. And you know what? I want us to understand that God's presence is so profound. It's just too profound to base his presence on our emotions and our feelings. You know what they do? Up and down. Up and down. So where they're going. You don't know where they're going from day to day. But God goes nowhere. He stays the same. He's not going anywhere. He's always there. We need to recognize that. I think God wants us to sense his presence. But I think more than that, I think that God wants me to trust him. God wants me to trust him. He wants me to love him. He wants me to obey him. Even when I don't feel him. Challenge, isn't it? It's a challenge for all of us. Can I do that? Because there's going to be situations, there's going to be times in your life when your faith is going to be stretched as far as it can possibly be stretched. And test it and try. And you're going to go through all kinds of emotions. And if you base your relationship on God with those emotions and those emotions only, God will nowhere be found. Now think about Job. And you know, Job, he lost it all. Family, his friends, his health, his wealth. Job lost everything, and for 37 chapters, he cried out to God, why is this happening to me? And for 37 chapters, God said nothing. How do you keep loving him? How do you keep trusting him? How do you keep worshiping him? How do you do that? Turn your face up to the heavens, and you pray to God. Why? And the heavens are just as silent as they were when Job cried out. Jesus is always there. Jesus says, fix your eyes on me. How can you do that when it's full of tears? You can't do it. How do you do it? Well, we do walk by faith. We walk by the facts of the gospel. We need to be careful not to base those things on feelings. I'm going to give you 4 points. 4 points to take away about what you need to do when God does seem so far away from you. Number one, from Job chapter 7. You have to tell God exactly how you feel. We must communicate to God exactly how we feel. Let's look at verse 11. Job says, therefore I will not restrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in bitterness of my soul.
I looked and looked at that verse, and I looked and looked at that verse. And you know what Job's saying? He said, I don't understand what's happening in my life, God. I don't get what's happening in my life. I'm angry about it. I don't like it. I'm angry about what's happening in my life. He told God that. And I look at that. Let me tell you something about God. You know what God is? He's a trusted friend. God, our Heavenly Father, is the most trusted friend. You can tell Him anything, and anything that you tell Him, He can handle. Anything that you tell God, He can handle your doubt, He can handle your frustration, He can handle your fear, He can handle your confusion, He can handle your grief, He can handle your anger. God can handle all. There's nothing you can't give Him, He can handle. Nothing.
You ever had a friend like that, that you could just tell anything to?
Yeah.
If you have a friend like that, the scripture teaches you've got a friend that's a brother, you've got something. But I want you to think about having a friend like that. If you can absolutely trust that friend with just use that as a springboard, anything that's ever bothering you, just you've got something if you've got that. Have you ever had somebody, though, that's a friend that you really kind of maybe not trust? That you really kind of maybe not ought to tell everything that you want to tell? And you kind of tiptoe around that friend, and everything that you say sort of surface-oriented? You don't have to do that to God. You don't have to tiptoe around with God. You don't have to surf the wave with God. You can go deep. You can tell God things. And I'm convinced one of the reasons that Job, in this text, in the scriptures, and Psalms, I think God wants that. God wants you to bear your heart to Him. Your Heavenly Father wants you to do that. We surf in prayer so much. We surf. We're surfing. Now, there's a difference in public prayer and private prayer, but I think sometimes in private prayer, well, just surf public. We don't bare our hearts to God. We're not wide open to the most trusted friend that we can have. You know, you got kids. You want your kids telling you just what you want to hear? Is that all you want your kids to say? Just what you want to hear. Don't tell me anything about what's really going on. Don't tell me anything about what's really going on in your heart. Don't tell me what really is upsetting you. Don't tell me. No. We don't want that. We want our children to bear everything to us. Maybe I said something. Maybe I did something as a parent that they don't understand. I want a chance to explain that to them, but if they don't bear that to me, I'll never know. We want our children to be open and honest with us. Your heavenly parent does too. God is no different. Well, as long as I hold it in, what happens? There's a barrier there. Go ahead and hold it in. Don't bear your heart to God. The barrier will be there. That line will be there. I know that He knows. You know that He knows. But you know what? We need to bear our hearts before God. Secondly, you've got to focus on God's unchanging nature. Let's focus on God's unchanging nature. When you have those feelings, you know, regardless of whatever circumstance you're facing, regardless of how you're feeling about the circumstance, God doesn't change. God's nature doesn't change. Now, when you're wading through a circumstance in life, you know, when you think about the nature of God, you know, deep down, you know that God is good. Don't you? Yeah, you do. No matter what happens to you, deep down you know God is good. Deep down you know God hears. Deep down you know God cares what's happening to you. Deep down, no matter what you feel, you know God loves you. And we need to concentrate on the very nature of God to get through those things. Never, never doubt in the dark what you know to be true that we read that's in the law. When Job's life just fell to pieces, and you know, he still found things, if you look at that book, again, that are punctuated throughout the book, acknowledging various facts about God and the nature of God, which he knew to be true. Notice in the 25th verse of chapter 19. Job 19. Notice verse 25. Job 19, verse 25. He says this, "As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives." We sing that song, don't we? What a great song of inspiration that is. I know that my Redeemer lives. You look at the words of that song. Boy, I tell you what, whoever wrote that song, whoever said that, must have been on a mountaintop somewhere and enjoying the glories of God and felt one with God, wasn't disengaged. No, not at all. When Job wrote that, when Job said that, he was in the valley of despair. He was in the valley of discouragement. He was in the valley of suffering. When he wrote that, Job confessed that when he was at his all-time low. Think about that. I want you to notice he didn't say, "I feel like my Redeemer lives." He said, "I know. I know that my Redeemer lives." Wow. What a statement. What a man. Focus on the unchanging nature of God, because it doesn't change. He's not going anywhere. Thirdly, you have to trust God to keep His promise. If you're going through something, you need to trust God and know that He will keep His promises. That God will do what He says He's going to do. Don't be troubled with trouble. God's going to take care of you. Now, turn to Job again. Let's look at the 23rd chapter. We read verse 8 and 9, which speaks of the frustration of Job. Verse 10. I want you to look at verse 11. He says, "My foot has held fast to his path. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the command of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Now, when Job says that, Job didn't understand all the things that were going on with him, but he didn't understand God's promises. He did hold on to what God said. And I look at that. Job had already decided that he's going to trust God, even though he didn't understand what was happening to him. Even though he didn't understand all these things. I don't know how God's going to work this out. I don't know what God's going to do. But I'm going to trust God because He said it will. And I don't know today how God works things out. But Paul says in Romans 8:28 that God told us all things to do what? Work together for good to them that what? To them that love God. Now how does He do that? I don't know how He does that. But I want to trust God and know that He will. Finally, as you work through these various situations in life that we face, it's essential, I think, that we remember what God has already done for us. You know, folks, every single one of us in this room, if God never did one more thing for you the entire rest of your life till you breathe your last, you need to remember what God has done for you already. You need to be thankful for what God has done for you already. And even if He did do anything else, God still deserves what? My trust, my love, my obedience to Him, simply because of what He's already done. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And whosoever believes on Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He did that for each and every one of us. He doesn't do anything else but that. We owe God everything. Everything. All of us have gone astray. But God has called the iniquity of all of us to fall on Him. God deserves our best because of what He's done already. One day last week, last couple of weeks, pretty hard day. I've been in one of those melancholy moods that somebody gets in, you get in. Pretty sad, really, kind of reflective. And in my mind, it just seemed like yesterday, but I got to think about it. It's been 40 years since my grandfather died. And really, I got to think about it, and you know what? God, about the same age I am now. You know, young. We all think we're young. What's old age is 10 years older than you are. All, you know, that's how old age is. Everybody that's old is 10 years older than you. And I got to thinking about how he died, why he died, the words that the minister spoke at his funeral, different things like that.
And I don't understand. I don't understand.
And have things happen in your life that you don't understand? And you think about that. We have to work through all kinds of emotions. And we have to work through all kinds of feelings in our life. We feel hurt. We feel depressed. We feel confused. There are things that happen in our life that we don't understand. And that we don't have an answer for.
What are we going to do?
What do you do?
I'll tell you what I've learned to do. I've learned to do what Job has done. I've learned to do what David has done. And I've learned to pour my heart out to God. God, I'm angry. God, I'm confused. God, I don't know what to do. I know you said this. I don't know. I'm going to give it all to you, Heavenly Father, because you said to give it to you, and all things will work out for good. I've learned to do that. I trust you. And I'm convinced that whatever happens, you'll protect me and still love me, and I'll still give you honor and praise. Amen. That's it. I know that my Redeemer lives, and He cares for me. Let's remember that. Thank you for your attention, brethren. I don't know how we're going to sing the song of invitation, but we can do it. I'm not into humming. I don't know what Jacob's going to do. Amen. Amen. You're up to the invitation. Please come. That's the invitation.